Recording.
Welcome to our second episode of Fun with Scotch. Today we're going to be talking about Islay, which is Islay for those uninitiated to this variety of Scotch.
And Islay have a reputation for being heavily peated and sort of challenging, so that some people, even though they like a lot of the other milder Scotches, are kind of put off by the Islays. On the other hand, if you like strong black coffee or espresso and just strong taste in general, I would encourage you to give them a try, because they're very different from most of the other Scotches and they're a lot of fun if you like that kind of thing. They're some of my favorites and were since I started drinking Scotch. So
me too. Mm-hmm. We forgot to introduce ourselves, by the way.
Oh, right. Okay. I'm Marlis.
I'm Judy.
And I'm John.
All right.
And we love Scotch. All right, what's our first one today?
Well, our first Scotch today is Port Charlotte Islay Barley Heavily Peated Islay Single Malt. Port Charlotte is a subsidiary brand of Brocladic, which is an Islay Scotch, although it's not heavily peated. So this is their peated version of their Scotch. So, reactions.
Yeah, is that right, Marlis?
They're backwards.
They're backwards.
Yeah, yours is on the right.
Why are you confusing us this week?
I'm sorry.
So we're giving it a little sniff just to see.
It's a very pale gold color. Mm-hmm. Well, not very pale, but not
it's,
amber.
It's the paler of the three.
And it doesn't have an age designation. The first release, I think, of the Port Charlotte brand was in 2014. So probably none of them are terribly old, although they have to all be at least 3 years old by Scottish law. Mm-hmm. So
that's interesting to know. And Marlis, do you know, if it's like one, in my experience, just in my very little bit of experience with drinking whiskeys, it always seems like sometimes the darker it is, a lot of times the older it is. Is that wrong or is it just...
I don't know. It makes sense to me in a completely... untaught manner, in that the longer it stays in the cask, the more of the oak or sherry or port cask, whatever it is, it would absorb. So that makes sense, but I'm not...
Well, and then we were also talking about how I learned today for the first time that some Scotch makers, whiskey makers, actually put coloring in their batches, which I've kind of find that offensive. But I guess I can understand if they want to make sure their coloring is even across all their batches, that they would do such a thing. But I doubt it changes the flavor at all. Mm-hmm. So anyway, back to Port Charlotte.
Mm-hmm. We're smelling it. It's a little bit of a raw smell.
Mm-hmm. A peaty smell.
Everything I've read said that the Islay Scotches also have a strong brine and ocean tang or seaweed tang. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure that I'm exactly sure how to identify that, but it does have that kind of salty, briny taste or smell to it, I think.
Mm. I smell the bog man myself. But,
I'm getting some smoke from it.
Yeah.
It's a fairly sweet smell, but still a little on the smoky side.
Mm-hmm. And basically the peat comes from when they malt the barley or set it to germinate, it's damp, so they have to keep turning it, and then they dry and roast the barley over a peat fire. Hmm. And that's that, how much peat smoke gets into it and how much, what's the percentage of fuel that they use that is peat versus something else, determines how much peat is in the final version. So let's give it a taste.
Oh, we weren't tasting yet?
Oh, yeah, I already started, but okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've been tasting for quite a while now.
Oh, all right. Discipline is lax, obviously.
Yes. Well, you were talking, and we didn't have anything else to do.
All right.
But listen, and drink. Okay. So.
This is often the case with my companions. I
don't know how. No, it's very good.
I like it. And Port Charlotte is when we just discovered... Oh, just a few months ago, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and like I said, it hasn't been available that often. And I'm liking it. Mm-hmm. It's not a real heavy peat. I'm kind of surprised, because right on the bottle it said heavily peated. But
yeah. So this would be, this might be a good one for a beginner. If you've never done Isla and you want to start with a lighter, taste, this would be one of them to start with. Is the even, and don't be scared by the heavily peated on the label.
Yeah, it's got kind of a sharp taste, and it's there's peat, but it's also kind of spicy and a little bit of flour in there, and it's very pleasant. It's not terribly smooth, so if really, really smooth is what you're looking for, I don't know that this would be your whiskey.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
Probably because it hasn't been around that long.
But
yeah, by the standards of Laphroaig or Lagavulin, it's not that smoky, so it's a good starter, Isla.
I could see drinking this in a nice little bar in a fairly large town, and I don't know. I they put me in places. That's how I... And it's just, you know, it's very pleasant. It's kind of like cocktail type scotch for me. But
no, I don't. I would drink it in a small town as well.
Okay.
Just saying.
Okay. Yeah, that's because we live in a small town.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right, I'll be back in my car.
John. Okay, our second scotch for today is Laphroaig 10 Year. And this is probably one of the most reasonable cost Laphroaigs that you can find. It's easily available anywhere. It's younger than some of the, you know, and probably a little rougher than some of its older cousins. But it's kind of a classic Isla scotch. And it's interesting in that this little island of Isla has, I don't know, it's like 8 or 9 distilleries on it. It's very well known. Ownership of the various distilleries or names is complex. Laphroaig is now, it was taken over by Jim Beam at one point and is now owned by the Japanese Suntory Corporation. So it takes a lot of money to distill whiskey, so the big corporations do get involved.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, everyone smell your Laphroaig.
Yeah.
Oh, that's lovely.
We love Laphroaig. I think all of us, all three of us, this is our favorite Isla at this point in time. We haven't found anything we like quite as much. It has a smooth smell to it.
Yeah. There's more peat, but there's also a sweetness, kind of a caramel smell to it that makes it, I think, more accessible.
Mm.
You don't get the same kind of rough alcohol smell that you did with some of the Port Charlotte. Because it's a little bit older, you know, and that makes a huge difference.
Yeah, it has a really mellow and smoky smell.
Okay, now we taste. That's really interesting. There's like kind of grass tastes and caramel and salt.
It's
and
earthy.
Earthy, yeah.
At a family gathering over Christmas, we actually had someone tell us that they think it tastes like earwax, which I am not tasting. Apparently, some taste bud differences need to be made. Allowances made for them.
Some people aren't cut out for Islas.
Yeah, that is very true. But Isla is what made me like scotch.
You know,
I didn't like any of the scotches particular until I got to Isla that first time.
Yeah, that's what made me love scotch.
And it was like, oh my, I can drink this a lot.
Yeah, it's kind of in your face, and it's... it's complex. There's a lot of different flavors in it. All of the distilleries on Isla made a big deal about the fresh sea air because as whiskey ages in the casks, some of the whiskey evaporates and then some of the air gets into the barrel so that there's a constant change. So if you have salty, rainy, cold sea air, you would assume that some of those tastes would get into the scotch.
I wonder what it would taste like, you know, maybe next year to the mushroom farm.
Not as good. That would be my theory.
Not as good.
I was thinking maybe, or down by the Tacoma mudflats.
Yeah, no.
No?
No.
No?
No.
We don't want whiskey made down there?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, please.
Well, although there are many wonderful micro distilleries that are being created in the Pacific Northwest, and we want to support them,
but probably not next to the mudflats or the mushroom farm.
No, no.
Yeah.
This is really good.
This is really good.
Yeah.
I'm actually probably going to finish this.
It's just excellent.
Yeah. Okay, move on, because I really like it.
Yeah, I think we pretty much summed it up when we said it's our favorite.
Yeah, unlike last week where we had not tasted any of the
blends.
Mm-hmm. We chose things we had never tasted before. Because Islay is our favorite type of scotch, we had three that we've already tasted. Mm-hmm. So maybe in a future episode, we can try some that we have never tasted.
Yes, just because there are Islay scotches that are less traditional and that I've never tasted before. So that will be an exciting next episode.
Mm-hmm. What was that one? Scheldegg?
Scheldegg.
Yeah, that we tried a while back. Mm-hmm. That was pretty good. Mm-hmm.
There's Ardbeg, there's Bunahabin, mm-hmm. there's several more that I can't think of at the moment.
There are many. There
yeah, they're very good.
All right, yeah, this is definitely does not taste like earwax.
No.
And since I don't typically eat my earwax,
it's hard to make a comparison.
But, yeah. Well, Judy and I had a bottle of Brewocladic Redder Still, which was, I thought it was really good. It was bottled in the year we were married.
Right.
We got it.
So it was really old.
yeah. Even then,
it was a 25 year, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
It was our 25th anniversary, so we got the 25 year, and it was harsh.
Judy did not care. I think it was cask strength.
Yeah, I did not like it.
It was aged in sherry casks, if I remember correctly, and it had a reddish color to it, and it was actually, I thought it was pretty good, but it wasn't the same as most of the higher end. Islas that we think of because it had that sherry cask flavor to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was good.
And just to show how little I really know about scotch, I didn't even realize that was an Islay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's Brewocladic, and
and they don't do a heavily peated thing.
Yeah,
so that's
there.
Maybe
yeah. Beaumont is another one that is an Islay and more traditionally peated, and Port Ellen, which I've never had. Although I guess that distillery closed, so if you can find Port Ellen, it's kind of
pricey,
rare.
I bet you too.
Okay, let's smell our Lagavulin.
Yes,
this is Lagavulin 16 year.
Oh, that's.
Oh, that's lovely too.
It's got a sweet smell, I think. Is that? I'm not good at saying what it smells like, but it smells sweet to me.
It has a slightly, to me, it seems a little bit lighter than, or maybe slightly more alcohol than the.
Maybe a little bit, yeah.
But.
And we should say that the Port Charlotte.
That's the one is that the one that's not. Cold, not filtered?
It's 50% alcohol.
50%, yeah.
The Lefroy
is
43%.
That could explain.
And the Lagavulin is... I can't see.
And this is... does that say 16
years? 43%.
And this is a 16-year?
Yeah, this is the Lagavulin 16-year.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's not somehow as fragrant to some of the others. Either that or my nose is getting tired, which is... certainly possible.
I think it has more fragrance, but I think it might be the sweetness.
It's not. Yeah, it's not as earthy a smell as the Lefroy, I think, but it's a little lighter, but it's still very, very present, and it's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if it tastes as sweet as it smells.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it does. Not a scotch for the faint of heart.
Yeah.
There, and with this, there's a little more wood or leather. I don't know if any of you drink wine, but I love Sangiovese from Italy, and it leaves a feeling on your tongue like leather, and this does this as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if you like Sangiovese, try Lagavulin, because I would drink this in a Scottish pub on a windy, rainy island after tramping around the peat bogs all day, and... you're sitting by the coal fire and finally warming up and drinking your Lagavulin, and your boots are drying by the fire, and that's the leather feel to it. So
that's a lovely picture.
I know.
And can you tell Marlis has been to Scotland?
Yes, but not actually in that pub.
No, not that pub.
It would be nice.
Yeah. But you could draw the picture because you know what pubs are like in Scotland.
Oh, yeah, they're lovely.
I could also see drinking this at the end of a long day of skiing. Up in the mountains somewhere, and you come down and you're exhausted, hot, tired.
And you're
tired,
sitting by the fire.
Your feet are wet.
Yeah.
You sit by the fire and you just warm up with a nice glass of this.
Mm-hmm.
It would be so pleasant.
Yeah. Well, I can see just drinking it.
There you go.
Anywhere.
Anytime.
After a long day at the library, I'll come home and put on my slippers, get my chihuahua on my lap, and have a glass of this.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be, while watching, I don't know, criminal minds. So,
well, and I have to admit, I've been looking at a lot of whiskey reviews on YouTube, and there was one, three lovely young men who were giving their opinions on whiskey, and they had a Lowland whiskey, Glenkinchie or something like that, that was fairly light and floral and smooth, and they said, this is a good lady's whiskey, and I was so deeply offended. they did not mean to offend me, I know, but it's not. Like, no, ladies like all kinds of whiskeys, and I like Lagavulin and Lafroig, so
let that be a
lesson to all of us, yes. Well,
whether you want to or not.
There is no hair. There is no hair.
I don't know. There could be.
No. All right. Anyway, now what we're going to do... Now what we're going to do is we're going to add just a teeny bit of water to each of the whiskeys and try them again.
Oops.
Okay, we may have to pour some more for those of us who have been a little more...
A little greedy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, just a minute. But, yeah, you can turn it off now since we have to.
Okay. Here we go.
Okay, we've now added a little bit of water to each of our scotches,
and we're going to... Just a couple drops.
Yeah, we're going to taste them again. What does water do to scotch? As far as I know, and this is really simple, it separates the oily bits from the non-oily bits, and it just kind of changes the flavor and the aroma and everything. And the best guidance I can... quote from what I've learned so far is the best scotch is the one you like, and the best way to drink it is the way you like it. So some of you will like adding a little water, some of you won't. And a good way to test it is take a scotch that you are basically kind of fond of, add a little bit of water.
Just a couple
taste
drops.
It, add a little bit more, taste it, and keep adding a little bit of water until you don't like it anymore. Then you'll know.
Yeah, but keep track of how much water you're adding so you know what your line is.
Yeah.
You know. Because, well, when you're drinking scotch, sometimes you don't keep track of
that's
things.
That's true.
You forget.
I forget. I do that all the time.
Okay, so try some Port Charlotte with a little bit of water.
All right.
Doesn't seem to have changed the...
Well, it hasn't improved it for me anyway. It's still a little bit raw just because it's young. The peat hasn't come forward at all, which I would like, because I like peat.
And when you say it hasn't improved it, it's not like you don't like Port Charlotte. It's just that it hasn't made it even better than it was before. Because I like all three of these. I think they're like, it's like they're like three different occasion kind of scotches, you know.
Think of them as three siblings who don't always get along, but
right.
They're part of the same family.
It's like if you're feeling like drinking the Bog Man, go straight for Lafroig. If you're feeling something a little sweeter and a little classier, not classier, I don't know if that's the word I'm thinking
of.
Just something not quite so in your face, I would go for like the Lagavulin type of thing. But anyway, yes, the water in the Port Charlotte, I don't think, for me, didn't change much at all. And one way to think of adding the water, too, after Marlis's explanation, is if you are a wine drinker and you talk about opening up the wine flavor, and that's what water can do for the whiskey as well.
Yeah, and there are as many different opinions about adding water as there are people who drink scotch. So do not be intimidated. If you like a little water in it,
go for it.
Well, it could be the water.
Don't add 7-Up or Coke. That's all I'm saying.
It could be the water, or it could be the fact that I've already had three scotches. But I honestly think the water opened up the Port Charlotte a little more. It's not quite as alcohol strong, as it was initially. I like the smell quite a bit. Not that I didn't before, but it just seems a little more
pleasant.
Like I said, we
liked all three. It's just that, you know, for instance, if I was to rate them 1, 2, 3, I would say, you know, Lafroig, Lagavulin, Port Charlotte. That would be my 1, 2, 3.
Well, yeah.
But
I would still rate them in that order, but I think it's maybe a little more pleasant right now.
They probably toned down the raw alcohol thing.
All right, let's try the Lafroig.
Actually,
I think that's probably good. Okay, now we're going to the Lafroy with a little bit of water.
I think for me, the water has toned down that peat smell, which does not please me.
I know.
I enjoy the peat smell.
It's milder. Yeah.
It's milder. Mm-hmm.
Again, it could be the three scotches I've had, but
you know. Stop it.
You haven't had three full scotches. You've had like little drams.
Okay.
Wee drams is, I believe, the official.
I'm sorry. Wee drams.
A wee dram.
Wee drammed it.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. Anyway. Yeah,
we drammed it.
Yeah, I don't.
We drammed it yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Drammed
it. It's still nummy.
It's still good, but I like it better without the water.
For some reason, I don't get as much caramel and some of those overtones, sweet overtones.
Yeah, for me, I enjoy that peaty, boggy thing going on with Lafroy, and toning that down does not make me like it as
well.
Much.
And this is interesting to me because, of course, I've honed my blended Scotch skills by saying Scotch on the rocks. Throw some ice in there. Give me Scotch.
Slice of lemon.
No, there will be no lemon.
That's right, I forgot.
But now that I'm just putting water in a few that I really like, I'm like, they actually are better without. Or at least this one, this particular one.
Yeah.
The Lafroy 10 Year, I think is better without the water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have to agree with that.
Yeah. It's still nummy, but it's...
The smell
is
still good, but it's less...
peaty.
Gosh, less tasty to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just don't... I don't get as much smoke, as much peat from it.
But though we tend to drink our Lafroy on the rocks, which maybe it's different because it makes it colder. Maybe that helps.
Well, the cold tends to probably, one, again, separate the oils and the other things, but also tends to kind of solidify it, and maybe it emphasizes some of the oily bits, which we like. I don't know.
I don't know.
I would think ice would reduce the... the smells and the tastes a little bit, but
yeah. So this is kind of a revelation to me.
Tasting it without water and without ice, it's a little more characteristic of Lafroy. It's got more strength and more flavor, more nose.
And remember, gentle listeners, we are in our learning process, just as you are.
Yes, yes.
We are here for mostly the beginner folk, not for you aficionados. But, because we're exploring and learning, and we want to help you explore and learn as well.
Or encourage you to explore and learn.
Yeah,
anyway.
Exactly. Yeah, keep trying.
Go out there. Get some scotch. Drink it.
Yeah.
In bits.
In bits.
Responsibly.
Responsibly. Within your budget. You don't want anyone going into debt to drink scotch because that's not worth it.
Don't take out a loan.
Don't take out a loan. Don't use your credit card. Use your discretionary cash. Okay.
Now... The Lagavulin.
To me now, it smells more caramely. To me. What?
Yeah, I can see that. But again, just less. I'm getting less... less...
The smell?
Whoosh. Lagavulin is a kind of in-your-face sort of scotch.
Yeah, so. it's not as in-your-face, but I'm definitely getting... I think more of the smell is the caramel smell.
Right. Before, to me, the smell was just sweet. A sweet smell. Now it's like caramely smell, and that's a difference for me.
Oh, see, and I just tasted it, and I think this scotch holds up better to water than the other two.
Yeah, I agree.
It has its sweetness and leather and wood and smoke and peat are pretty intact, and it is still rambunctious and will kind of hit you in the face, and it's come to party.
Come to party. But
good
stuff. It's interesting how it changed the smell for me, from just sweet to actually caramel, where before I just smelled sweet.
Well, maybe the smell was so strong that you couldn't identify.
Right. Well, when the water opened it up so that I could actually pick out
some of the different things. And there's kind of a sherry or a wine taste in there that I didn't notice before when it was just neat.
Now, do we know what kind of casks then? I think it's
just the...
Can I see the bottle?
Yeah.
I had to, actually squint underneath the light to read them. It's,
usually, if it's in a sherry cask, it says so on the bottle, and I don't think this does. Scotch whiskey distillers tend to use used bourbon barrels from America.
This one does it in oak casks.
Yeah, so it's just oak. and then they have input all that lovely flavor on their own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it doesn't it doesn't say anything about adding color. It does or anything. Mm-hmm. Now we did on the Port Charlotte. It talks about the filtered. What does it
yes,
say?
The Port Charlotte says explicitly that it is not chill filtered, and chill filtering. And this is going to be an extremely simplistic explanation. Because scotch ages in barrels, which are organic after all, and then gets bottled after that process, the whiskey will absorb compounds from the barrels. And this leads to sometimes, if you have an unfiltered whiskey, it will... especially if it's chilled at all, will become a little bit cloudy, and occasionally there could be a little bit of sediment in the bottom of the bottle. And many Scotch drinkers are like, oh my God, this must be terrible. What? Why is this happening? So many of the distillers actually do a chill filtering where they chill the Scotch and then force it through a filter, and this removes the organic compounds and bits and whatever it may have absorbed during its distillation and aging process. And there's a huge debate as to whether or not this affects the taste. And I have no idea if it affects the taste, because so far I haven't seen anyone issue a Laphroaig 10-year unchill filtered and a Laphroaig 10-year chill filtered. That's the only way that you would actually be able to make a determination on your own. But in the meantime, I wouldn't worry about it a whole lot. Find a scotch you like and drink it.
Yeah. Don't worry about all those, you know.
I really like this Lagavulin. That's what I'm drinking at the moment.
It's very good. Yeah, the thing is, you know, don't depend on other people's opinions. Mm-hmm. You know, like, oh, it tastes like earwax. Well, and then you don't try it because it may not taste like earwax to you. No, you don't want to, like, go out and buy a whole bottle of Laphroaig, which, because that can be kind of spendy. You know, go to a bar that has it and try it there and see what you think. And if it tastes like earwax, please don't buy a bottle of it. If you like it, then you go out and buy a bottle of it. There's ways to try scotch without having to buy a whole big old bottle. And you know, because it can get, even the less expensive blends can be pricey. So don't feel like you have to do that. We'll do it for you.
I know. Yeah. Well, and I have found that, you know, prices of liquor vary so widely depending on where you are and what the taxation structure is and all of that sort of thing.
And here in Washington,
that I would never say, I would never dare to say this whiskey costs this much. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But if you're looking for a reasonable way into a peated whiskey, Beaumont is wonderful. Port Charlotte, I would certainly give it a try. I don't know. We haven't had Ardbeg or Buccleuch or some of the other Islay distilleries, so we will have to do another episode on Islay scotches and do some of the ones that we haven't done. And if you're ever in Scotland, you can go to Islay, and I believe the Ardbeg distillery has guest quarters where you can actually stay overnight.
Ooh, can we do a like field trip?
I'm thinking of that, but we'll see. Anyway, there's Islay scotches are wonderful. They evoke the sea and the island and the crags and the granite and the peat and the fires and
I feel like I'm there.
Salt.
I know salt.
Salt. Yeah. Brine.
Yeah.
And they're individual.
Possibly seals. I don't know.
Yes. Yeah. And in our world of, you know, plastic and the internet and various other things, those are really good things. So I think that concludes our first episode on Islay scotches.
No, first episode of Islay. Yeah, I was getting ready to correct her, but I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Again, for the third time today, I'm wrong. but anyway, future episode, we will
try some other Islays.
We'll try some other Islays. We promised in our last episode we're going to try to do some sort of food pairing episode for scotches or some sort of whiskeys with food.
And we want to do some Speyside and some Lowland.
Yeah,
and,
you know, Island, Lowland, all
there
those Lowlands.
There are so many lovely scotches.
And if you have suggestions, you will have to send those to us and we'll have a contact information in our show notes.
Mm-hmm.
Stay tuned.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot. Have a good night.
Score.